Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
The importance or lack of child care in Mid-Missouri has become an increasingly heightened conversation within the community. And depending upon the lens you're looking through, child care can be defined in a number of different ways. In today's episode, we talk to three folks from Central Missouri and get their perspective on what child care means to them and how the community can rise to the occasion to improve the quality and availability of child care. Our first guest was Angela Hirsch, Executive Director of RACS here in Jefferson City. We talked a little bit about how her clients are needing child care and how that can help them in their process of healing. Angela, give us a little bit of an idea of what RACS' mission is.
Sure. So the Rape and Abuse Crisis Service mission is to provide services to survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking in a space that's designed for healing and help. Our main focus are working with survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, and we do that in a variety of ways. What we're probably most known for is our emergency shelter for survivors who are trying to escape violence in the home. Mm-hmm. But we also provide trauma counseling to survivors, as well as advocacy services, case management services. We work with the courts and the legal system with survivors who are going through either civil court or criminal court cases. And then our crisis intervention services with survivors who are reporting either to law enforcement or an emergency hospital room to get medical attention for their injuries.
From that perspective, through those lens, when you look at child care and the crisis that we are in, the state is in, maybe even much of the nation, what does it look like to you?
So child care is a huge barrier, particularly for our guests that are in shelter who have young children. Mm-hmm. Because as you are escaping a violent situation and trying to rebuild your life, part of that includes employment. It may include education to obtain that employment. And looking at the opportunity to try and achieve those goals when you also have a young child or young children in your care and trying to navigate affordability of child care, availability of child care, and the child care that will best meet your needs, particularly if you're not working a traditional 9-to-5 job, can be very, very difficult for a lot of our guests and survivors. And so we try to work with them to find resources and opportunities within the community so that their kids are in a safe space while they are working to rebuild their lives. And that is much harder than it sounds like ought to be.
Yes and no. I mean, I would imagine they've lost much of their support network.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yes.
And so at that point, you're rebuilding. It's that level of trust, right?
Right.
That you're one of your precious resources that you have is your child or children, and you want to be able to trust them that they're being taken care of and in a safe environment.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the biggest piece of it for our survivors. But the other piece of it is affordability.
Hmm.
And I recognize the need for affordable child care for so many working families in our community. On the other side of it, I also recognize the need for high quality, trained, educated child care providers.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are providing that service to families shouldn't have to live in poverty to be able to provide that service. So where's the balance between making childcare affordable and also being able to pay those who provide that service a wage that they can support their own families on?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a catch-22 in a lot of ways. And I'm hoping that through discussions that are being had within our community, discussions that are being had on the state level, there's been some legislation that's going to be introduced in the next session regarding different types of tax credits
mm-hmm.
that may become available not only to parents, but also to providers as well as businesses. I think that is very important. I also applaud our Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce for recognizing this is the issue that it is and pulling together businesses and providers and parents and the businesses in our community recognizing that this is something that impacts our workforce.
Right.
And we need to be a part of that solution.
Well, and beyond that, it also affects our educational system.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Without a good support system for children, the schools will end up picking up the slack. in that education.
They will. And I think what a lot of people don't realize, particularly people who don't have young children, it's not about daycare. It's not about babysitting, right? It's about child development. It's about early childhood education and recognizing that education begins at birth. It doesn't begin at age five when a kiddo enters kindergarten. And so that early childhood education is so vital to our littles so that they can be successful when they get into the schools, K through 12, and looking at everything from, you know, how do you sit quietly? How do you control your behavior? How do you recognize authority? How do you respond to that authority? How do you recognize social cues amongst your peers, even as a three-year-old?
Right.
And putting all of that together, because we expect more of our kids now when they enter kindergarten. When probably you and I were growing up, kindergarten's where you learned your ABCs and 1-2-3s.
Right.
Now you learn that in preschool.
Right.
And until you are able to hit preschool, which is usually about the age of three, what happens to those working families with their kids who are 0 to 3? And again, it's about child development and preparing kids to learn. And safe environment, high quality, all of that plays a huge part of that. And when I am looking at kids who have come from a traumatic background, whether they have been physically impacted by that trauma or just emotionally impacted because of what they've seen and heard, it's even more important, because what we're trying to teach our kids that we see at RACS is not only about that social development, but it's also about how do you control those negative behaviors of fear or of anger or frustration or sadness? And what are ways to act out non-violently, which is what they have seen?
Right.
And preparing them to get into that school environment, if you would, in a way that they are able to be successful, even though they may have had a traumatic past.
Yeah. So, Angela, what do you believe is an achievable goal for improving child care?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Again, I think it is all of the different pieces of the puzzle, if you would, coming together and identifying, I as a business, this is what I can bring to the table. I as a parent, this is what I can bring to the table. I as a provider, this is what I can bring to the table. And having all of those different entities working together for the betterment of our kids and our families within our community. Because I think it's my opinion that the more successful our families are, the more successful our community then is. Mm-hmm. And that is every member of that family, from the youngest of the youngest to the oldest of the oldest. And as a community, making sure that we have the resources that support each member of that family throughout each stage of life. And with childcare, you know, we're talking about our future and making sure that every child within our community has the same opportunity for that successful future. And thus, in turn, making sure that every parent in our community, if they choose to utilize childcare, has that opportunity to better their family and know that their kids are protected, know that they are educated, and know that it's time and money well spent.
Yeah. So, Angela, what would you say to those? Because you know they're out there. They would say, listen, that is not society's issue to fix. This is a parent problem. This is a parent's responsibility.
I say it takes a village, and none of us are successful parents ever have been in the history of the world on our own. Parents have always had a support system around them. And, you know, throughout history, it's been the tribe or the clan. It's been an extended family. And as our society has evolved and changed, that support system has evolved and changed. And we're no longer a society where, you know, generation upon generation lives on the same plot of land or the same home or even in the same town.
Right.
So your support system changes and becomes, rather than family, becomes friends and becomes those that you socialize with or that you work with, that you depend upon. I remember when my children were young, a huge support system that we built around our family involved the activities that our kids were in.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the other sports parents became our support system and us for them. Our church family became our support system. That's what we're seeing more and more of. And it's about relationships and it's about how those relationships are formed and built and support one another. I think that being a parent is the hardest job you will ever have, regardless of how old or young your children are. I used to think when my kids were very young, oh man, okay, when they get older and they're able to talk, or when they get older and they're able to fend for themselves, they're now young adults. And I'm like, man, there is no rule book for raising an adult child. This is really hard.
Didn't you get an owner's manual?
I did not, no. So each stage, you know, I rely on people who have either been there or who are in the same stage that I am in for that support.
Yeah. So whether it's the relationships you talk about with friends, family, that becomes a support system, whether it's something more structured that is available to parents, or the tax credits, or the other things that are out there on the drawing board, what, if anything, is standing in the way of success? It seems like it's one of those topics that who should be opposed to improving childcare in our society. So what's standing in the way of success?
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think my personal opinion, I think a lot of it is money, honestly. Childcare is not cheap, and it shouldn't be, but at the same time, again, it needs to be affordable for working families. Mm-hmm. Availability is something that is so difficult. I completely understand and am in favor of childcare regulations that we have in our state. Those are there to keep kids safe. They are there to hold caregivers accountable. And our children are our most prized possession, for lack of a better word. So when we look at infant care, for example, infant care is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because when you're looking at ratio, it's a 4-to-1.
Yeah.
4 infants to 1 adult.
Right.
And that means they're either very, very small, limited number of slots available for infants, or you have to have twice as many care providers for those infants.
Yeah.
Again, you want to pay those providers a wage that they can live on and support their own families in an environment where those babies are safe and where those babies can thrive and can learn and develop. You know, you get into the toddler stage, it gets a little bit better. You get to the 3-to-5 and it is much easier. You're looking at about a 10-to-1 ratio as opposed to a 4-to-1 ratio.
Right.
So I think the cost of it is something that needs to be considered. I also think that we need to look at how has the workforce changed over the years. There are different types of employment opportunities today than there were 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. The workforce looks different even than it did 5 years ago before the pandemic. And people say, well, mom or dad works from home, so childcare is not an issue. You can stay home with kiddo while you work. Really?
Yeah.
Can you? No, I don't think so.
That again goes to daycare versus childcare.
Exactly.
Right? There's an adult in the house, but how can they be doing their job for an employer while taking care of a child?
Exactly. Right. And having your attention divided in that way, you're not going to be really successful at either one.
Right.
You know, so how have those things changed? What are the needs within a community in terms of childcare? And here in Jefferson City, for example, we have a lot of industrial type jobs that are available. You look at employers like Scholastic or Unilever or DeLong's or those types of manufacturing. You know, there are 3 different shifts that work in those employers. Well, if your first shift, you're pretty good in terms of being able to secure childcare if you're lucky enough to get a slot. But if you're second or third shift, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Particularly if you're a single parent. And, you know, single parenthood has become more common than not in today's society. So how do you support those parents and make sure that those children are taken care of as well? So I think it's a whole variety of needs and issues that are looked at and need to be considered. And we really need to change our outlook because, again, it's not daycare. We're not taking care of days,
right?
It's childcare. And more, again, more importantly than that, it is child development.
Mm-hmm.
We need to think about it differently than we did even 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
I do think one of the things we need to look at are how many people have had to leave employment because of childcare issues. I know myself personally, I've lost 2 employees in the last 3 years because of childcare issues. And they were both amazing at their job and what they did, but they just couldn't stay with me because of childcare.
Yeah.
that's heartbreaking.
Sure.
And we can do better all the way around.
Yeah, it's not just finding a job, but it's also, it becomes overwhelming.
Right.
And untenable, you have to choose. That creates a lot of stresses on the family, potentially.
Huge stresses on the family. And I can't imagine being in that situation where I have to choose between providing for my family and caring for my family.
Yeah.
That's a very hard choice that we're asking people to make.
Yeah. I will tell you, it's been 25 years ago. We were in that spot. My wife, actually, she was a sales rep. She was making more money than I was.
Yeah.
And we had our first child, and we realized how much we were spending in childcare versus what we were bringing in. And it made more sense to just tighten the belt a little bit and one of us stay home, the other one work, and one work at home. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and it's interesting you say that, because my husband and I, when our first child was born, very similar. And then when our second child was born, they're 2.5 years apart. We were paying more for about a year, year and a half in childcare than we were on our mortgage.
Yeah.
And the idea of, you know, maybe one of us staying home with the kids and that kind of thing. But we were both at a point in our careers where we were establishing ourselves. We were building our reputations. We were really getting into the cutting edge of our professions.
Mm-hmm.
And career-wise, I don't want to make it sound like I put my career above my children. But had I quit and stayed home, I wouldn't have the career I have today.
Right.
Had he quit and stayed home, he wouldn't have the career that he has today. And again, it's about, where's that balance?
Yeah.
How do I get to a point as a parent where I can be successful in my career and also be successful as a parent?
Yeah.
And again, I think that's where the whole community thing comes in to play. The whole, you know, it takes a village, because we all need some sorts of supports to be successful.
Yeah.
Regardless of what success looks like personally to you.
Yeah. The other thing that I find interesting is it really is a generational mindset too, you know.
Very much so.
You know,
yes.
When I consider where my parents were when they were raising children, myself, and then I had a journalist here 5 years or so ago who, when she became pregnant, she started immediately looking for childcare, and that just seemed so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying to her, you realize it's going to be 9 or 10 months and before the child is born, and yeah, but you have to get a spot now.
That's exactly right.
And that just never, that blew my mind away, because I never really had to deal with that. I never really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a challenge often, is that everybody looks at it through the lens of, well, I was a parent, so I know, right?
Right.
It's a different world.
Parenting
out there.
Has changed a little in the last 25 years, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. But it's funny you say that, because I did the same thing when I was pregnant with my first one, because I knew which child development center I wanted my child to be in for me to continue to work. And I knew that to get them a place in there, I had to let them know early on, when one of your newborn slots opens up, you let me know, because I want mine in there.
Yep.
And it fortunately worked out. Not every parent has that luxury, though.
No. So what are you most encouraged by in these discussions that you observed or been a part of?
The things that are encouraging me the most are, number one, that it is an issue that people are recognizing and they are talking about it. Number one. Number two, there are a lot of different options being laid out on the table of possibilities of how to make childcare more accessible and more affordable. I love the fact that businesses have come to the table and want to be a part of the solution for this for their workforce.
Mm-hmm.
They have recognized that supporting their employees in different ways is going to make a tremendous amount of difference in their ability to recruit, retain, and maintain their employees. Mm. And childcare is a huge piece of that for working parents. I don't remember a time in my career that employers or businesses had such a vast interest in this subject. And I think that is very, very promising. From a nonprofit perspective, we are a business as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people miss that when you talk about nonprofit. You know, we're a charity or what have you. From a nonprofit perspective, the impact that this has on my staff is massive as well. But more so than that, what are some solutions that I can come up with as the executive director at RACS that can benefit not only the families that we serve, but also the people that work for me?
Yeah.
And so we've been toying with this idea. I have no idea how to make it happen. I'm working on it. We're looking for funding now. But if I could create a children's program for our youngest shelter guests, so that they have an environment where they are safe, where they are secure, where they can learn, and mom or dad doesn't have to worry about trying to get them into another child care program off-site, get them there and back every day while they are working on the things they need to work on.
Sure.
If I can have that right there and give these children the opportunity that so many other of our children have, just to start that process of learning what it means to be in a child care setting and with their peers and a learning environment. And then maybe eventually figuring out how to offer that to my staff as well on site. I think that would be huge.
Yeah.
And I think if more of our employers looked at potential child care on site for their employees, I think you would see a dramatic reduction in absenteeism, in tardiness. I think that you would see more working parents successful in their job. I was very lucky when I was in college. I worked for a child care center that was affiliated with now Mercy Hospital. At the time, it was St. John's in Springfield.
Yeah.
And this child care center was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and had three different shifts, if you would, for the different shifts that the hospital had.
Yeah.
And it was specific to hospital staff.
Yep.
And I loved working there. I loved it. And I loved how our curriculum changed based on the shift that that the kids came in on. So our day curriculum looked more like a typical early childhood development classroom type setting. Our evening had a little bit of the learning, but then more of the quieting them down, preparing them for bed, that kind of thing. When mom or dad's shift ended, kiddos were already asleep or ready to go to bed. They just came in, swooped them up. And then our overnight shift was really just about an environment where the kids were safe while mom or dad were working. And then the morning became more of the early morning learning, come in, take them home. And it worked beautifully. It worked beautifully. And having had that experience of working in an employer-based childcare setting and seeing how it did work, I know that it would work.
Sure. Well, it just strikes me. I mean, there are first, second, third shift companies that it just seems like a great opportunity for leveraging those. They all have the same needs, right? And if you had a Unilever and a Scholastic and plug in another employer who could work together to support a child care for their employers, employees, then that just seems like a natural there.
I think that would be amazing. I think it would be amazing, you know, we're the state capital. What if the state were to put something together for their state employees and make that available? And do so in such a way that, that the employer puts something in. And that's one of the legislative options that's going to be introduced, are tax incentives for employers to invest in childcare, whether that's a private childcare center or something they come up with on their own. That could be huge. And that then would help address the affordability issue.
Yeah. Well, Angela, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, listeners, we have another Coffee with the Editor coming up. We'll buy the coffee for you. We'd love to hear your thoughts about what we do here at the News Tribune, offer some suggestions, feedback. It's totally your call what you want to talk about. Our next one will be October 18th from 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. It's a come-and-go event, and it's at Capital City's Coffee Zone. That's right. So come join us. Say hi to Tazir. Have some free coffee on us. And now back to the show. We next spoke with Aaron Vader, who's superintendent of schools for the Diocese of Jefferson City. The diocese recently opened a child care center that reaches out to members of the diocese and staff members and offers child care services. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Aaron is superintendent of schools with the Diocese of Jefferson City. Aaron, let's just start out just a general question. What does the current state of child care look like to you?
The current state of child care, in my opinion, is we're showing a definite strain. And we see it throughout all levels of child care, including schools. We're running out of teachers. We're losing people to other industries, and there's only more and more need out there. So I see people struggling to find appropriate care for their kids who are too young to go to school.
Hmm. So when you talk about losing teachers, what do you mean?
We have a lot of teachers, not so much in the Catholic area as in the public school area, but you have a lot of teachers who are retiring early or choosing to go a different career path, especially since the pandemic. It's been escalating pretty rapidly, and we're starting to see it in our Catholic schools too.
Yeah, and I would note the Catholic schools here in mid-Missouri have kind of an innovative approach they've taken to childcare. So let's talk a little bit about that.
We just, in the past several months, I was approached by a couple of our younger teachers at Helias, actually. And they had an idea about starting an on-site childcare center for the teachers with infants to young toddlers, kids who were too young to start three-year-old preschool at our parishes. Through the course of a lot of discussion, we ended up deciding to do something that would be accessible to anyone in the diocese, anyone in the Jeff City area. We were very, very lucky that we had a donor step up who was able to purchase a closing Montessori school for us. And donate it to the diocese. And so within the span of about 4 months.
That's quick.
Yes, it was very quick. They closed on the property in the middle of May, and we opened Immaculate Heart of Mary Child Development Center August 7th, I believe it was.
Okay.
So in that amount of time, we were able to get everything together and hire a really good group. And we've been up and running now for 3 months. The numbers are steadily growing. It's been great.
Yeah. So parents of any parent in the diocese, or is it employees of the diocese? Who can qualify for this?
That's a good question. We have a first come, first served for our employees of the diocese.
Okay.
So teachers, staff, people who work at the chancery, people who work for Catholic Charities, people like that. And then after that, if we have room and we're able to accommodate them, we're pretty much open to whomever.
Okay. So how many spots are there in the school now?
Right now, we have 20 kids. And we don't have any empty spots right this minute.
Okay.
Because again, trying to hire staff has posed more of a problem than we thought.
Yeah.
And we also, interestingly, we kind of thought we were doing everything from 6 weeks to 3 years old. With the idea that our three-year-olds will go into their parish preschool.
Right.
I was under the misconception that we would have more kids on the higher end of that.
Oh, yeah.
And we do not.
No.
We have, of those 20 kids, probably 14 or 15 are infants.
Oh, yeah. And which requires more staffing
exactly.
than if they were on the older spectrum.
Exactly. And we're running a really, walking a very fine line, because our whole goal was to make this a faith-based, obviously safe, educational environment for the kids at a significantly lower price point than a lot of the child care that is out there right now.
Okay.
Because that would speak to what you were talking about before, help with retention, help with recruitment. And so we have to watch our numbers very closely, because we don't have a lot of wiggle room when it comes to money we can play with.
Sure. Well, let's talk money. I mean, what are the rates at your center compared to the market rates?
Well, my understanding of the current market rates, specifically in Jefferson City, is that you could run anywhere from $1,000 a month to $1,400, $1,500 a month. We are doing $700 a month. And that means we run a really tight ship. We're not in it for the profit, obviously. Our job is to take care of the babies and make sure that their parents have a secure place for their kids to be.
Yeah. And certainly you can understand when you start talking $1,000 to $1,500 a month for a young family, a childbearing family's age, that can be crippling, right?
We were just having a discussion this morning at the Chancery where I was speaking with one of my coworkers, and she was saying how a friend of hers had just been notified by her daycare that they were increasing their rate to $1,200 a month for the baby.
Yeah.
And the comment was made, it's almost not worth working at that point.
Yeah.
And I think we need to look at that critically, because we've been talking a lot in the past couple of years about people leaving the workforce, or why it's so difficult to find people who want to work or can work. And I think that it's very likely that that's part of it.
Yeah.
If it gets down to us, if it gets up to a certain point and you're only making a certain amount of money, why would you do that when you could stay home with your child?
Sure.
We need teachers. Mm-hmm. We need staff workers. We need people at the Chancery, administrative assistants, all of that. And they need childcare. Mm-hmm. And since our focus as a Catholic organization is in supporting all families, this really seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
That we should try to expand this.
Yeah.
And luckily, I've got a boss in Bishop McKnight who's very open to that and was extraordinarily supportive of it.
It blows your mind when you think about the cost of childcare rivaling, if not exceeding, the cost of shelter. When you look at your household budget, that's the big ticket there, right?
Exactly.
How much you're paying in rent or mortgage payments. But for these young families, that could easily exceed that amount.
Exactly. So what are you working for then?
Yeah. So you're at capacity right now. So obviously,
right now, but we're hoping. We're hoping.
So one of the hopes is potentially expanding, right?
Yes.
So if you were dreaming, what are you talking about here?
If I were dreaming, I would love to have a second early childhood center on the east side of town,
mm-hmm.
specifically for kids who aren't old, and, you know, just like we have on the west side, where we're able to meet the needs of those kids, help more families. I think that there's a lot of need across town. But if I were really dreaming, I would love to have one all over the diocese. We do have several schools that have been able to extend their grade levels to include early childhood.
Hmm.
In places like Moberly and Sedalia. But there are a lot of areas that just don't have it.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to do more research and figure out where the best places would be to start another standalone and do that.
Yeah. In those instances, are the obstacles staffing, or is it space, or a combination?
Both, and money.
Yeah.
You know, nothing about what we do as a church is profit-based.
Right.
So we were so very, very blessed to have donors that understood the need and wanted to help and had the capability to make such a huge gift.
Yeah.
I don't know how often that can be replicated.
Right.
But if we have an area where you have a group of people who are interested and we're able to find a place to do it, I'd love to replicate it.
Yeah.
We've already been talking in Fayette a little bit about it, too. So.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that as we talk about childcare across the spectrum here, from nonprofits to businesses to just for-profit organizations, there is the ability to replicate the model there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of resources out there that if they're pooled together, that might be able to start to attack this problem. I once had a boss who suggested that it's great if you're a pioneer, but they're the ones that you often get the bullets and the arrows shot at. So it's good to learn from their lessons,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So what are the lessons that you would share with those who are considering, whether it's a business or a couple businesses coming together to try to replicate this idea of a child care center that would help in their retention efforts as they take care of their employees? What are some of the lessons or that you would share with those entrepreneurs?
I would say probably give yourself more than 3 months.
Yeah. That's
even though
wise.
even though it went really smoothly, I think it was very much a singular experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think be very aware that it changes rapidly. You could have 50 people say they're interested in coming and only 10 show up.
Yep.
So be careful about what you think your bills are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I think that listen to the experts. We were very, very lucky that we had several people who were helping us out and giving us good information, not just from our schools that already had early childhood centers, mm-hmm. but also from people in the community mm-hmm. who have their own early childhood centers mm-hmm. and got a lot of great advice from them. So don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
When it comes right down to it, you need to have good people in place to help take care of these kids. I was really blessed that I found Leanne Rockwell, who's our director. All of her instincts are correct when it comes to taking care of kids. And to be honest, taking care of their parents. Yeah. Because that turns out to be a big part of it too.
Sure.
I would say that the biggest thing is don't do it unless you really love kids.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get into it because you need to provide it for your employees mm-hmm. or as a way to recruit or retain. But if you don't have that level of care, mm-hmm. it's not going to work.
So what were some of the biggest obstacles you faced in the development of this center?
I have to say, things fell into place ridiculously easily for us in order to get it going as quickly as we did. I think, again, the challenges that we were facing were most likely, and still are, in terms of how close to the bone can we cut it to keep it affordable?
Yeah.
Because it's not a cheap thing to do.
Sure.
Mostly because you need people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that human capital, if you're doing it the right way, because we want to keep them too.
Right.
So paying them a living wage and making sure that they have access to benefits and all of those things is very important. So I think that's the most difficult part, is making sure that we have the right people in the right places and that we're taking care of them even as we're taking care of the kids.
Yeah. So do you have an example, perhaps, of someone that you learned from during the process?
Absolutely. Julie Schmitz at Show Me Childcare was such a huge help for us. She runs a really great operation, and she came over and walked the property with us and gave us a lot of insight into things, has kept us aware of trainings and things going on, mm-hmm. and really educated me on a part of education that I hadn't been exposed to in the past.
Sure,
sure. So it was great.
It strikes me that that is a great approach because it builds that community, right?
Absolutely.
And it's not like your competitors. At that point, the community's children are the focus. It's not about, I'm going to make myself better.
Right. Hopefully, that's how we all feel about it.
Yeah.
That there's obviously more kids and more families who need childcare than there are places who can provide it.
Yeah.
So we're not in competition with one another. We certainly didn't start this to take money out of anybody's pocket.
Right.
I think that we have a long way to go before that's ever a situation.
Yeah. So as a stakeholder in this whole childcare environment, mm-hmm. if you could shake a magic wand here, what do you think the best approach to pulling this together would be for the community?
That's a really good question. I think there are opportunities there that I think we're seeing happen. Jeff City Public Schools working on extending their preschools and things like that. I think those are really good starts. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing that needs to happen is everybody needs to understand how important it is that we have good places for these babies to be in. Mm-hmm. I'm a middle school teacher originally, and I used to always joke that my kids were brain damaged. But scientifically, when you're a middle school kid, your brain is growing as much as it did when you were between birth and 3 years old. It's one of the most important times of your life to make sure that all the input that you're getting is good input mm-hmm. to make sure that you're set up for success for the rest of your life.
Sure.
Well, that's a big deal.
Yep.
That's an important responsibility. So if parents have to work and have to put their children into the care of other people, then we need to recognize what a huge responsibility that is. Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes we think about it in terms of workforce or in terms of numbers, and it's easy to look at it that way.
Yeah.
But if we look at it from the point of view that we are influencing and creating the future of our societies.
Right.
Well, what's more important than that?
Yeah.
So let's act like it.
Yeah. Well said. Erin, thanks for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, listeners, I've got community engagement editor Lane Strasner here with me. Hello, Lane.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Lane, guess what?
What?
Halloween is coming up.
It is.
You know what I like about Halloween? Candy.
Me too.
All right. So I understand we've got a contest coming up on that special topic.
Yeah. So we have a Clash of the Candies bracket. So you can vote for your favorite Halloween candy.
Vote for Snickers.
My favorite is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Snickers.
You can vote for your favorite candy. We'll have 64 Halloween candies that you can vote on between October 13th and October 30th. And if you opt into a newsletter when you vote for a candy, you will be entered into a drawing for a chance to win a $50 Visa gift card and a bucket of candy. Go to newstribune.com/clashofthecandies and we will announce the winner of the candy and of the drawing on Halloween.
All right. So get out there and vote. Remember, Snickers wins. Our next conversation is with Paula Benny, who is owner of CNS Employment Services in Jefferson City. Our topics really revolve around business and its role in trying to address the crisis of childcare in mid-Missouri. Paula, it strikes me that when we talk about childcare and your perspective as a business, they're usually not the same conversation, but increasingly today, business has a voice in childcare needs in the community. Is that a fair statement?
That is correct. Very correct. Yes.
So what's in it for business? Why is it an issue now?
Well, I think it's always been an issue. COVID is what really brought it to the forefront.
Okay.
And during COVID, I mean, we had workers, our employees. I have the state contract. I work with call centers. And there was this urgent need to get our employees remote.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these employees went remote, which means, you know, the child care centers also closed down. So they had their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, and people ask me, where are all the employees? Well, a lot of them didn't return. You know, they found that staying home with their child, offsetting childcare expenses, and homeschooling has become very popular. Mm-hmm. They didn't return to the workforce. And you can't blame them. But as they are starting to return, they don't have a lot of choices in the childcare centers to put their kiddos.
Yeah.
You know, if they find out they're returning, they need to get on a waiting list.
Yeah.
They can't just start immediately.
Are we talking like a week or two of a waiting list?
Oh, 9 months. in some cases.
Sure.
When they find out they're expecting, they get on a waiting list.
Yeah. Yes. So is it fair to say then that with these workforce issues, there's a direct effect on the city's economy, the health of the businesses themselves?
Yes, there is. I think they just released in the seminar workshop that we went to a couple of weeks ago that Missouri has lost $1.3 billion due to child care shortages. Mm. So that's a lot to our economy.
Yeah.
And here locally, and again, I refer back to COVID since 2019, we lost 9 child care centers. And that affects directly 500 plus families.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's huge.
From a business perspective, then, if the goal is to improve the child care climate or the availability, the quality of child care in Central Missouri, what is an achievable goal?
I refer back to education. So through the Jefferson City Chamber of Commerce, you know, we started the Workforce Coalition. And through that coalition, what is affecting our workforce? And we addressed several things, you know, in one of them being housing, transportation, and childcare. Childcare rose to the forefront as something we can immediately affect. Housing is a big issue, but childcare, we had the attention of the business communities. You know, how can we help? Well, first, we got to educate on what our childcare centers are seeing. Mm-hmm. And people think that because there's a childcare shortage, we need more childcare centers. Well, that's not true. What's happened, just like all our businesses, they have staffing shortages also.
Yeah.
They're at 70% capacity because they are short staff. I got a crash course, trust me, in what our childcare centers were going through. And I'm like, oh my word, they are taking care of our most precious resource, our children.
Mm-hmm.
And they are suffering through a lot of issues, the same as any business, right?
Sure.
So how do we help our childcare centers? How do we help them? Well, United Way, Teresa Verslois, and Shauna Kirprin with the Hub 16 Early Childhood Program merged together with the Jefferson City business community, launched us into decades of work that we would have had it done, right? And so we started a pilot program last fall, including our child care centers into the Partners in Education program. And this is a way for businesses to step up and be a lifeline, you know, to help those child care centers. They're great at teaching our kids. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. But they may not be strong in the back end. They may not be strong in, you know, or just so busy that they don't have time to really do a good teacher appreciation, which they need. They need to take care of their staff. Mm-hmm. So that's that extra help. And we've actually had fun doing it. Mm-hmm. We matched up 6 or 8 businesses. And so this is our pilot year. And we're garnering all the ideas that they're doing. But it could be as simple as chalk and bubble because those child care centers go through quite a bit of it. So you can have an employee day and they bring in those supplies. Or it can be as big as helping them with their gym and their equipment. And we helped ours with their employee handbook. There's a lot of admin functions that they could definitely need help in. And if we can alleviate some of their stresses,
sure,
they can do better at what they do best.
Right.
Yeah.
And those are immediate things that it's feet on the ground right now that can be done.
Right now.
What are some of the things longer term that we should be pushing towards to address the needs of the community?
One, we need more businesses to step up to be a part of that Partners in Education program. Yeah. You know, we've gotten through the pilot program and we are having more child care centers saying, hey, I want to be a part of that.
Right.
So we are looking for more partners in that. And I encourage parents, if you go to your employer, you know, if there is a lot of employees at one location and there's a child care center that you all kind of lean toward, ones that is closer to you, mm-hmm. go talk to your employer.
Sure.
Ask them to be a part of this that you want to adopt, you know. That child care center, it's rewarding on both ends. It really is. It's been fun.
So let's empower those folks who are listening. So if I were that person and I went to my employer, who should I refer them to? How do I make the connection there?
If they want to contact the Jefferson City Chamber, that's who is kind of overseeing the project, along with United Way, and that's a great place to start.
All right. So beyond that, what are the next steps then?
We are doing a survey right now through our action team. And this survey, we're trying to, through those questions that are addressed to the parent, another survey to the employer, and another to the child care center itself. Mm-hmm. And through that survey, we want to understand the needs right now. And so those set of questions will help us focus the direction of where we want to go. We have an idea, but we want to hear from the community. This survey would really help us out.
Okay. Well, and we'll put links to the survey in our show notes. So that way we would encourage you, if you're listening, to jump onto one of those and offer your thoughts. What are some of the thoughts that you're looking for specifically, let's say from parents?
What are their challenges? How long of a waiting list were you on? What are you seeing? We want to know what the parents want. You know, what do they see that needs improved so that we can address it?
From a child care center perspective, what kind of questions are we looking for there?
They're going to tell us what they're seeing. We want those questions, you know, what are their challenges? Mm-hmm. Is it staffing? Is it supplies? Is it regulations? Is it policies? Their food subsidies? What are they seeing, you know, that is their biggest challenge? Mm-hmm. And that would greatly help us in addressing, like you said, immediately. How do we solve that problem?
Yeah. And from a business perspective, what are you looking for from businesses?
We want to know from businesses what their employees are struggling with.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you right now, availability is the big one. Overtime, weekends, you know, child care isn't set up to take 10-hour days.
You know,
they're set up for an 8-hour day.
Yeah.
So things like that is what we want to see. When are those times primarily? So we could see if we can find child care centers to offset.
Sure.
You know, how do we fix that?
Well, and I would assume also there, when you talk about businesses, manufacturing, they're not all 9-to-5 jobs either, right? And so flexible scheduling and things such as that would come into play.
That is correct. In my child care center, my partner is Joy and Gladness, which is the only 24-hour child care, who is desperately needed. She was actually taken out in the tornado and has made a struggle to get back. And what she has done to overcome the challenges is really impressive. But, you know, you think of all the industries, you know, that work 24/7, your hospitals, your manufacturings. I mean, she's very, very needed in our community.
Yeah. So once this survey is done, what's the plan going forward after that?
Then our action team is going to meet. We have, I wish I knew more about it because that's Shauna's department. She's gotten a grant.
So as you wait on those survey results, when you look at the childcare situation, what offers you some glimmers of hope that there are other things out there that could really benefit the community?
They had a bill in the House and Senate, and it's going to be put back forth, and this would be huge. This would help our Partners in Education program tremendously, which that is looking at a 75% tax credit for businesses for their contributions to that child care center.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
And that would encourage businesses to step up. And it can be an individual, too.
Sure.
Not just a business. That's huge. So we're hoping that it would also include, 30% tax credit for employers' contributions to child care, their employees' child care, along with a 30% tax credit for the child care center itself, for their withholding tax. So they're hoping to introduce this early. And they kind of got in there late last year, so they feel very confident that we might get that passed this year. And if it does, that's just huge.
That can be a game changer right there.
Absolutely.
So, Paula, what would you say to folks who maybe don't fully understand why childcare is such a hot button issue right now? What would you say to those folks as to why this is an important issue that the community has a stake in and must address?
Everybody has seen it. If you go to your restaurant, they're shorthanded. If you go most anywhere here in town, they're shorthanded. Why are they shorthanded? One of the reasons is childcare. And that's why I got involved. And I got involved because it's workforce.
Mm-hmm.
But as I got a crash course into what our child care centers were going through, I kind of changed my mind. I saw this as what our struggles, our child care centers were going through, that if we help our child care centers, we help our kiddos. If we help our kiddos be in a safe, nourishing environment, we help our parents. We help our parents, we help our businesses. We help our businesses. We help our communities.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw it as a trickle up.
All right. Well, Paula, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.